So, okay, so now I wanted to move on to the next question, which is within the topic of Piscataquis, in particular the parameters of Piscataquis, and then we'll move from there to the question of the scope, Piscataquis, other contexts of halacha. But the question that we're turning to first now is just what are the parameters of Piscataquis? What kind of phenomenon, what kind of changes that occur post-Zrika dictate that what until now had been Gere, had been Chitzo, had been Masav, is no longer? What kind of changes create discontinuity, transform the landscape such that now, given the new Metzius, which is radically different than the previous one, with respect to whatever it is that we're talking about, so it can't be attributed to you as an agent. It's not a feature of your pa'ula prior to the transformation. And here we have two lines of inquiry. First concerns the cause of the change. Take the case of Tris, right? So we're dealing with going from a person who is taken by a Tris, then there's no longer a Tris after you had already thrown it. So does it matter what caused the Tris to be removed? Does that matter? And the second concerns the content of change. What kind of changes are we talking about? Beyond, let's say, removing a shield, are there other examples or other changes that could constitute a basis for Piscataquis? All right, so first, regarding the cause. So here, we can really pose two questions. First, the case in our Gemara is the case where the shield was removed by a person, either Acher or the thrower himself. So here I think one could ask, what about natural causes? Let's say it had been removed by a ruach. But that also constitute grounds for saying this is Piscataquis. And Misvara, maybe the natural response is to say, why not? What's the difference? Should be a difference. But I think one might argue otherwise. You could say it makes a big difference. The idea of Piscataquis, again, is that there's a sort of a radical change in the landscape, in the environment, and that creates discontinuity. We can no longer attribute what happens afterwards to the pa'ula that was prior, right, to the Zrika that you had before. It's no longer defined as Masa. And you might well say that natural forces are elements that inhere within the landscape, within the environment. Right? It's part of the environment within which you're working is things like Ruach. So the effects of such forces, you might argue, are therefore not considered to be a disruption, an alteration of the original landscape or the environment. Maybe it's more of an evolution. The point is, it doesn't create that kind of discontinuity. The only thing that constitutes a rupture or disruption of the reality of the context, which could make it discontinuous, is an act, an exercise of will by a person who intervenes and imposes his will upon the environment. That sort of thing, that can be viewed as Piscataquis, the continuation of the arrow is no longer viewed as being sort of authored by you, given the fact that the situation in which you threw it has now been tampered with, in a sense. So that's one question. The second question, concerning, again, the cause, if we assume that it's lavdafka maisad, but rather even natural developments, even ruach, let's say, can disrupt it. So here we could ask whether or not that's true, even if it was anticipatable. And if we're talking about ruach, what about a ruach metziah? Does it matter if it was removed by a ruach metziah? So you might say that also will be considered Piscataquis, because it doesn't matter how the transformation came about. The point is, it's a different metziah. It's a different context now. Before, this person was shielded, and now he's not. Or you might argue, you might say, no, that's not the case. Whether because if he was covered by a shield, which could be removed, Baruch Metzias, that's not really being protected by a shield. The shield isn't really there. That's a sort of dynamic thing which can be changed at any moment. So therefore, it's not a transformation from shielded to non-shielded. The whole time it was non-shielded. Or you might say, no, this is just a slight alternative. Even if we say that, you know what, it is shielded. So long as it's there, it's there. But if it's so likely to be removed, then that's not considered to be the kind of transformation necessary for the Din of Piscataquis. Now, what do we actually find in Makoros? So, I want to turn our attention to potentially something which could be relevant, which is the Gemara Bava Kamma on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. So, the Gemara Bava Kamma, in the midst of discussing Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish have Machlokes, and the Torah is Mechayev Eish as a Mazik, so how do we classify it? Is it Eish or Mishum Chitza or Eish or Mishum Mono? Our interest now is just what the Gemara says regarding Eish or Mishum Chitza. The Gemara raises a question, which is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Eisho Mishum Chitzav, so the assumption of the Gemara is that if you hold Eisho Mishum Chitzav, we're actually going to get to Eisho Mishum Chitzav pretty extensively, because it comes up here also. But just for now, the assumption of the Gemara is if you say Eisho Mishum Chitzav, that means that it's at least considered to be Adam in the sense, just like a Chetz, if I were to shoot a Chetz, so there's no Ptur Taman. Most Mazikim have Ptur, Shem Regel have Rishis Rab, Ptur Shis Rab. Karen has a p'tur chatzin nezek for tam. Or is kelim. But Eish has a p'tur tam. Okay? It's only tam. The Gemara darshes from Sukkim. So the Gemara says, if you hold that Eisho is mishum chitzav, so how do you ever have a p'tur tamen? Because we know that a person who shoots an arrow, he's not chayiv for, he's not pata from tamen for things that are covered. Right, this is the Gemara's question. Amar Rav Kasha le Labaye leman damar Eisho mishum chitzav. Just chav gimel menal. I think I said everybody. Menal menal. Tamen be Eish the pata rachmana hechi mishkachasla. How is it possible? Right, Rashi. Ilu adam zorik chayt v'hizik b'tamen lo mechayiv v'nezik. So how is it possible with regard to Adam? There are no pturim. So how could you say that is going to be ptur tamen? So the Gemara answers, v'nichalei kigon shenafla deleika laosa chatzer v'nafla geder shalom machmas deleika v'halcha v'edlika v'hizika v'chatzer acheres t'hasam kalu lechitzav. What happened was I lit a fire. So at the time I lit the fire, there was a fence. Right? So the fence is surrounding the whole property. So in that case, if after I've lit the fire, the fence falls down, not as a result of the fire, but let's say as a result of ruach, right? Nafla hageder, let's say, beruach. So in that case, the Gemara says, it's no longer going to be considered chitzav. And the Gemara adds for Rabbi Yochanan that it's not that he thinks there's no such concept of isha mishumamono, he just thinks there is isha mishumamono, but nami yislai isha mishumamono. So that in that context, where there's kal lechitzav, right, it's no longer going to be considered chitzav at that point, once the geder has fallen. It's still going to be mamano, and then you'll have p'tur tamen. So the Gemara says, in the context of eshem v'shem chitzav, that in the event that you have a field protected by a fence, and after you lit the fire, the fence falls down, so in that context, kal lechitzav. It's no longer considered to be eshem v'shem chitzav. So one could understand that this din of kal lechitzav, that is an application of our halacha, of piskei geret. In fact, the words mean basically the same thing. It's just a Hebrew translation of the Aramaic, piskei geirei, pasak, kala geirei, chitzav. So kala lechitzav is actually just the application of this concept of piskei geirei. So what the Gemara then is saying is that in that case, right, just like we have the case of tris, the yado, so here there was a tris, namely the geder. So once the geder falls down, the siluk tris, so then it's not going to be considered chitzav anymore. Midin piskei geirei. So if that's the case, we can answer some of our questions. That even a natural development, a natural occurrence, such as falling down just due to the ruach, that also creates that kind of discontinuity. It isn't just an intervention in the natural course of events by somebody or some imposition of will that transforms the landscape and then creates discontinuity. Even just if it falls down on its own because of the wind, that also will be mafsik geirei. Even if we assume this, I should just note that it isn't entirely explicit as far as our second question was concerned, whether or not this is true even beruach mitzuyah. Interestingly enough, the first person I saw discuss the question of whether or not the geder, this geder which fell, is this specifically if it's a ruach shein mitzuyah? Or is it, even if it's a ruach mitzuyah, you're still going to say kal lechitzav? So the first person I saw discuss was the Chazon Ish. And he says, it's pashut to him that kal lechitzav is only when it's nafla hageder, machmas haruach, it's only if it's a ruach she'ina mitzuyah. But a ruach mitzuyah, you wouldn't say such a thing. We don't say kal lechitzav in that case. Okay, either way, it's an open question from the Gemara per se. But at least as far as the first point, namely whether or not this could be something which is transformed ayideh, the ruach, so here you have a explicit Gemara, kal lechitzav, it applies. The only thing is it might not be a good raya at all. It could very well be that the assumption is incorrect. The din of kal lechitzav actually is not an application of piskei geirei. Piskei geirei has to do with detaching the gabra from something which is done, i.e. the object that he propelled the kocha. Kal lechitzav has to do not with that, but rather specifically with the parameters of eisho mishum chitzav. The chiddush of eisho mishum chitzav is that even in that case where what is propelling the eish forward is the ruach, possibly the chemical, you know, just the natural chemical evolution of the fire. Some shon mar mechali, those cases. But either way, it's some koach acher. So the chiddush of eishem shem chitzav is that koach acher, me'urav bo, we define it as being chitzav even though there was a koach acher there. Right? That we can view it as your chitz even though it's not being propelled by your koach, but by koach acher. So in that context is where the Gemara is saying that's true only if there was no geder in the first place. But if the geder fell even as a result of just ruach, just a natural development, nonetheless it's enough to already say koach acher won't be considered to be kochcha. Right, so it's a din limiting the scope of when we say koach acher murabo is defined as chitzav. That doesn't mean that if it's really something which was propelled by you, then we would say that there. No, that's, it doesn't mean that we would say that for Piskei Geira. It's entirely possible that only human interference disconnects the object which is propelled Mikochacha from the person as an agent. But anything which is natural is considered to be part of the landscape, and therefore anything which occurs as a result of natural forces is not a radical departure. It's part of the environment within which the original Pula occurred. So the din over there is a separate din. That's a din of Koach Acher Murabo, and when we determine what are the parameters of saying that Koach Acher Murabo is considered to be Chitza. Okay? That's, as far as I know, the only Gemara which is, can be clearly relevant to the question, to this question of natural versus human-induced changes. Okay. Now we come to the second question, which is, again, in terms of the parameters. What kind of change is grounds to say Piskei Geira? Is it only going from having a shield to not having a shield? So here we come to a Gemara Mabakama, Lama Gimel Amad Aleph. Did anybody see? Sure.
I don't think so.
So the Gemara in Lama Gimel Amad Aleph Mabakama is discussing the following question. This is a Gemara, a Drasha, and Makos.
Yeah, I actually did see this.
Oh, you did see it. Okay, so you want to say?
No.
Okay. All right, so the Gemara, the Pasuk says in the context of...
I knew that was going to happen.
Don't worry, did I ask you that? The Pasuk says, I appreciate your honesty. The Pasuk says, Asher Yavo Esra'il B'yar, is just talking about somebody who is a Ritzayach Hashkaga, and has a din of Galus. Asher Yavo Esra'il B'yar, Lach Tov Eitzim, V'nitcha Yado, V'garzen, L'chros Ha'etz, V'nashal Ha'barzel, Men Ha'etz, U'matza Esra'il V'meh. So it finds the person's peer, and the guy dies. So Rabbi Lazar has a drasha, Matza, it finds him, Prat, L'man Tzis Atzma. As opposed to a case where, let's say, I'm in Rishis Rabin, and guy puts his head through the window right after the bars already flies off of my my axe. Okay? Right? You guys following the case here? So we say, probably Mamsi Tazma is not Chayim Gals in such a case. Okay. Now the Gemara in Bava Kamma discusses the question, what about Tashlumin? Let's say he didn't die. Let's say he just got damaged. So will he be Chayim Tashlumin or not? So the Gemara quotes Rav Zvid Mishmei Deraba, that Rav Zvid said that this line that the Gemara quoted in the name of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is the one who says that Mi she yatsa eben mitachas yadav hotzi ha latzosho v'kibla pater. Why? Because of prat, because of matza prat l'mamtzi satzma. Right? So then the Gemara had a tradition that Rav Yosef Baruch Hanina said that to some case you're pater migalos v'chai b'arbet varim. So the Gemara cites Rav Zvid is saying that's the case that he's talking about. Yes, you're Pater Migalus in that case, but you're Chayav Arba Dvar. And then Lishna Basra, the Gemara says, no, in this case, Manda Matni La Kamaisa, the one, somebody who had the statement of he's Pater Migalus with Chayav Arba Dvarim, is being about a different case. He thinks in that case that you're Pater Lagamri. So in other words, two deos about whether or not this case of Mishiyatsa Evin Mitachas Yado, the Hotzi Halas or Sho, the Kibla. So he's Pater Migalos because of Prat L'Ham Tzitz Asma, Mam Tzitz Asma, but, so the two deos, one night he's Chayav Dalad Varim. So the day one holds he's Chayav Dalad Varim, and the second day holds he's Pater. Now, what does Pater mean here? So, the Tur and Mechananel think it means that he's Chayav Nezek, he's Pater Migalad Varim. And presumably the reason is because, after all, Nezek are Chayav even Ba'onsim. Right? Be known as Bimuratzim. Dalad Varim you're not. So, the reason you're putter here is because it's an anus. That doesn't apply to Nezek and Nevirichai. The Rambam and most of the Rishonim, I believe, thought no. Putter Lagami here means from everything. It means no Chiyiv, not Dal Dvarim, not Nezek either. Okay, so how is it relevant to us? So several Rishonim, including the Rashba and Tosfos, ask the following question. How can you explain the day that holds Chayiv in this context, right? In the case of Yatsa Evi Mitachs Yado Hotzi Hala Es Rosho, whatever happened to the din of Piskei Geira? Ardin. This is the case of Piskei Geira. This is Rashba and Bava Kamma Lama Gimel. Should we want to tell us what you saw? Right, so what was the question, right? The question was precisely what we said. Maishna Mahi Rabba. Where we say, Azori Klim Rosh Agag, I talk of Karab Sus, Kadam Huvisilkam Pater. Why? Because Piskei Geira. Okay, so what's the answer that the Rashi gives?
Oh.
So therefore, kind of like your Rabba, command the Masi La Kamaisa will help us.
Yeah.
No. What?
The Manda Omer in Bava Kamma.
Right? He's in Bava Kamma, but no, the...
His last day, the rabbi, right?
That first day, that day, the Lishna, the Mandamati La Ha, that day is saying that you're high of Arbidvar.
Chayav Dalvar, and you'd also...
Including Nezek. So the Raja is saying the other day, that day is incompatible with
Rabba,
with our din, right.
So this day holds that you'd be Chayav in Rabba's case.
That day, right. The Mandamati La Ha, exactly.
Yeah,
so it disagrees with the Ptur of... the Ptur in the case of Zara Kli Mirashagag. We don't know, but it's an interesting question to ask. Is he so? He disagrees with Piskei Geri. He thinks that maybe he disagrees with Aruch Gemara too.
Right.
That we don't know. We can come back to that. But at the very least, what the Rosh is saying is, if you hold Piskei Geri, so this case will be Pater for sure. We didn't Piskei Geri. So in other words, this case constitutes a case of Piskei Geri, right? So it's not just going from shieldlessness to shield, or shield rather to the absence of the shield, but also somebody who wasn't there when I threw it. And then he inserted himself in the position, in the trajectory of my object. So that also is Piskei Geri. The alternative, of course, is to reject the premise. This isn't Piskei Geri. Even this day is completely consistent with Rabba, because it's simply not a case of Piskei Geri. Now this, obviously, by the way, is what the Tur assumed, right? Because the Tur and Rechananel, who assumed that you're Chayav Benezek in such a case, obviously didn't think you had the Tur, and they also passed like Rabba. So they obviously don't believe that this is Piskei Geri. Why? Because this kind of change does not alter the landscape, and therefore doesn't create the discontinuity. And the reason for that is simple, I think, which is that population in a public area is something which is dynamic, which is given to change at any moment. So even if, let's say, at the particular moment nobody was there, but that's not something that's a feature of the context. We don't define that as sort of a static part of the context. What was the matzah when you threw it? It was empty of any people. No, you threw it into a public area. Whether or not there was a person there when you threw it doesn't matter. That feature is something which is given to change, right? Even if nobody's standing there at the second you threw it, but you have to say that at least it's omeli matzei shama nashim, right? As opposed to a shield, which is being held, which is there. So that's not something which is considered to be something which is omeli, you know, the stalik. Somebody can intervene, maybe even a ruach intervenes. But the point is, that is something which is sort of a static feature of the context. It's not defined as variable, and therefore when it changes, it really is a different landscape. And I think that this is probably what the Tosfos had in mind. The Tosfos, who also raised this issue, Hotzi Halas or Shos, the Tosfos there say, Lo Damya, meaning he's asking, how does that day say that you're Chayiv in that case? How does Man Demat Le'Laha say you're Chayiv? That's why we have Rabba. Lo Damya Le'Haya Tachta Karim V'Ksasos Deshalei Ketzir HaRegel. Why? De'inu Lachsho Shisapu HaKarim V'Yishbaru HaKelim. V'Yishbaru HaKelim. Because ain't no lachshav sheisaku akel. So what does that mean? So you could interpret that to mean the issue is whether we expect you to have anticipated what happened. So in the case of the tris, we couldn't have expected you to anticipate, whereas here you can. What's the problem with that, saying that? If you interpret Tosfos that way, so what obvious question can you ask on that? Is it true that it's clear you couldn't have anticipated that case? Of Piskei Geri on Chav Vav?
If you were the one who...
Yeah. What about if I'm the one who did it and I didn't intend to do it, so it's quite obviously something I can anticipate. Right? Again, let's say, so, by the way, Zerina Fanano who talks about the case of a string. So let's say I have a rope. So I'm intending to throw it and also then pull it. So this question is not just the question we can ask, but it's actually the question that Rina Shai asks. Rina Shai in the Shingo Betzes. Sure, you saw it, right? This is on Lama Gimel, Lama Aleph.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Tzarchi
and the Hasan Poter after Kidim Hu B'Silka. Yeah. Tzarchi and the Hasan Poter after Kidim Hu. So how can you say that? Now the truth is the Meiri says Nimlach. So I think I mentioned this last time that you could interpret the Meiri to be saying, you know, that case actually isn't covered by the Piskei Geri if you had intended to do it the whole time. So then that's not Piskei Geri. I'm not sure what the Meiri means either way. I think it's a huge Chiddushim. If it is what he means, I don't think other Rishonim thought that. I think that probably what Tosfos has in mind isn't that you could have anticipated it. Rather, the point is, this event really isn't considered a transformation of the context. In other words, the point is that it shouldn't be viewed as being a transformation of the context since it's just a part of the original environment. You have a public place, people go in and out of public places. So when a person wasn't there before and now is there, that's not a transformation. That's what it means. Hayololashov means that was really part of the environment that was there before. That's what Tosfos means. And I mean it being that even in a case where, as opposed to Tris, it isn't omeid listalik at any moment. It isn't a dynamic variable where you, it's there 1 second, it's there not second, you can't assume any way or the other. And therefore, even if you could have anticipated, why? Because you were the one who did it and you intended to do it the whole time. Nonetheless, that's still going to be Pisgah Geirah because the landscape has simply been transformed to an extent that creates that discontinuity. Now, if you say this, so then I think it's fair to ask more broadly what other things could be considered Pisgah Geirah. In theory, one could even raise the possibility that maybe it's actually going to be limited to a case like Tris or a case like Geder, where you have something that is specifically accounted for. As you might say that if you've accounted for that chafetz is not exposed to whatever it is that I'm throwing, meaning because it's specifically protected against it. So there you're going to have Pisgah Geirah with respect to that thing. But things which are sort of unaccounted for, they're just not on the field halachically in a sense, those things don't constitute Pisgah Geirah. In other words, it's only because there was specifically something which was, in a sense, taken care of. So in that case, if its protection is lost, so then that's going to be considered a transformation where we'll say Pisgah Geirah. But it's not that when you threw it, there was specifically no danger to that person. It wasn't that there was no danger to the person. The person wasn't there. So in that case, you'll say that there's no Pisgah Geirah. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Is there a possibility, I'm not sure if this is about the same as or similar to what you just said.
Okay.
But is there a possibility of just kind of looking at it kind of very literally? Pisgah Geirah will only apply if the trajectory of what you threw doesn't include the point where the nezek is going to happen. So in the case where someone pisses on the side of his head,
it went to where you were.
Was always going to go there.
Right. I think that is. Maybe that's a better way of saying what I'm saying. I really intended that, so I think you said it a little better than I did. Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Meaning the point is that. Right. What?
That could presumably work without giving any sparos about anticipation or changing of the what changes in the or how much the
we view as a dynamic
is. Right. That could just be said kind of very simply.
Well.
Looking at what the trajectory is.
Well, first of all, Ruach Metziah. If it could have been removed from Ruach Metziah. You have to answer that question, I think. You have to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, meaning if it's just something that we think, okay, we know it's not going to be there, so you can't say that it wasn't supposed to be there. You're not changing the trajectory. You still have to be the change part of it. So I think you're still going to answer, you're still going to need to discuss that point. Which is why I think it's still room for Tosos to understand Tosos in this vein. I'm not saying that he's saying this, but I think there's a better way to say it, though. I have to think whether or not it's exactly what I'm saying, and whether it could be nafkaminas.
In the case of the tris, the reason why the location of the nezek is not included in the trajectory is because the shield would have stopped it before it hit the location
of
the nezek.
Right. And it could be nafkaminas. Yeah, I have to think about that. Okay, so now let's turn to the scope of the din. So the relevance of this din, potential relevance of this din, to other context of halacha, which require a ma'isa adam. So one example which I want to focus on, I think it's particularly instructive, is netilas adayim. So first, this requires just a background regarding netilas adayim, the requirement in the context of netilas adayim for a ma'isa adam of some sort. The background to this really starts with the Mishnah in Adayim, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hay. So the Mishnah there presents a machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim, regarding two cases. Two cases where the Tanakhama thinks that this is a good netilas adayim, it counts, it's kosher, and Rabbi Yossi's posel. The first is the case of mate chavis al tzeda, person tips over a barrel and the water spills out. So let's say I have a barrel on a table and I tip it over. So can you have netilas adayim with the water that comes out of it? Tanakhama says you can, Rabbi Yossi's posel. The second case that the Mishnah mentions is the case of a kof. A monkey pours the water out of the kli. So the Tanakhama thinks that also works. You can do that. You can have a highly trained monkey that he can pour your water on your hands. Whereas Rabbi Yossi's posel bezeh. Now, what is the basis of Rabbi Yossi? So it's clear that the basis of Rabbi Yossi is that in Netilas Adayim, you require that the mayim come upon the hands of the person whose hands are being washed, mikoach gavra. Right? It has to come as a result of an act of pouring by a person, which means two things, two components to that. First of all, there has to be an act of pouring from a kli. Therefore, mate chavis al tzeda, according to Biosi, is not kosher, it's puzzle, because once you knock it down, after that, the mayim is traveling now on its own, just a matter of gravity. And as I act upon the chavis, but the mayim that comes out of it is now just flowing out on its own. So there you don't have an act, you don't have what the Rishonim call koch nosing. And then secondly, he also thinks that it's not enough just that you have a nesina, koch nosin. You also need that nosin to be a person. You need koch gadra, right? And that's to the exclusion of the case of kof. What is the Tanakh's position? So here you have two interpretations among Rishonim. And some Rishonim quote both. The Rash and the Rush, Al-Tar, quote both. The first is that there's one focus here. Rabbanan hold, you don't need any koch nosin whatsoever. You don't need any active pouring. In fact, Bahag has a shita, the Rash of Paskin is like it, that you can put your hands into the kli. You can wash your hands by putting them into the kli. So it's generally assumed that that's true because we hold like the Tanakhama. We don't hold this shita, the halacha, but the Bahag who held this way, or at least the Rashi who held this way, he cites a Bahag and says, we paskin like Tanakhama, who does not require koch nosin at all. Therefore, the case of Ma'at Chavis HaSeid is no problem, and therefore there's also no problem with the koch. Other Rishonim say no. There's actually two machlokes here. The Rabbanan don't require koach gabra, koach adam. Therefore, they think a kof is okay. But they do require that the water come out as a result of an act of some sort. They require koach nosin. So the reason, according to this, that mata chavitz al tzeda is good is because they have another disagreement with their Yosei. They have to think that this constitutes an act of nesinas maim, of pour. We're going to actually get to that extensively. Let's say you turn over a barrel, so the water that comes out, how do we view that in terms of your relation to it? So according to some, according to One Day in the Rush, that's one of the machlokes in the Mishnah. Yeah?
Just to clarify, in this case of Mata Altida, so you're tipping the barrel and then you're sticking your hands into the water that's flowing, or you're tipping the barrel and the water comes directly into your hands?
Somebody tips a barrel.
Yeah.
Can I wash my hands in that barrel of water?
Like after it flows outside of the barrel.
Yeah, let's say, in other words,
someone tips it here and it flows
down
there.
Yeah, or just, you know, I'm standing right here. Right, no, there's a big, huge barrel of water over here. You push it down, and now the barrels, the mouth of the barrel is over here. Now the question is, can I use that water, which is coming, flowing out, for my nitiyas
adayim? And that's different from holding a barrel and then pouring it onto your hands?
Yeah, in fact, the case, you have the mission there? I didn't send these out to Mikaris, because you told me not to.
So it's kind of fun.
but the previous case was the case where everybody agrees Kuliyam lo pligi is good, which is Mate Adam Chavis Bein Berkav, I think. I don't have it on me, but you could,
and
if you
Chavis Bein Berkav in NFL.
Yeah. So even Rabbi Yossi allows you to, if I push it over and then I still am holding it between my knees, so that's good enough. That's considered to be Koch Gavra Rabbi Yossi.
So you just have to be holding the
Exactly. Right, and that would be the distinction.
That's
Bein Berkav, that's what you're talking about. Yeah. Right, so that's the previous case in the Mishnah.
Also, why don't we talk, like, for what purpose are we doing it?
Nitiyas Adayim, Lechem.
Just for Lechem.
Okay. I mean, it could be for anything, but at the very least, Lechem. Okay. I mean, there's different stages to the Takana of Nitiyas Adayim, but Lechem would be required for Lechem too, not just for Truma, not just for Kachu. We'll actually get to some of that, maybe. Okay, so that's the story of the Mishnah. Now, how do we paskin? So what do we say? Do we need koch gavra or not? What do we need, l'halacha? So here, you have machlokes Rishonim. You find three shitos. The first is the Rush in Chulin on Kuf Zayin. I think it's Perek, it's Kalabasar, I think Sibin Gimel. The Tur and the Tosfos also in Kuf Zayin in Chulin. They all paskin like Rabbi Yossi. They require koch gavra. So kof is out, and Mata Chavetz Al-Said is also out. The Rambam paskins like the Tanakhama according to the second interpretation, according to which you don't require koach gabra, but you do require koach nosin. Okay, why do we say that we do need koach nosin? Both the Rush and Tur and the Tosos and the Rambam assume you need to have an act of pouring, it has to be coming out by some act of some sort. Right? According to the Rush, it has to be Maisa Adam, according to the Rambam, the Lavdafka, but both of them require that. Why? Because of the Gemara and Chulun and Kuf Zayin. Gemara and Chulun and Kuf Zayin has a case where it talks about some sort of a irrigation pipe, some sort of pipe, long pipe, where basically somebody would, let's say, draw water out of the well and then pour it into the pipe, and it would take the water all the way down, irrigate some of the ground or whatever. So the Gemara says in Chulin, Hai Arisa de Dalai, this is this sort of Rashi, that Sinor Shoshokhin lo Mayim in Ayor, Vli, Humoluch Mayim Sados, right? So some sort of a pipe which irrigates the ground. The reason you can't use it is because once it's traveled along the kli, when you get to some later, when does that happen? But at some point, it's no longer considered to be mikoch gavra anymore. So therefore, it's going to be pasul and you can't use it. So the Rambam and these Rishonim, they all understood that you do need koach nesina, whether or not it's a person based on that gemara. The one sort of the lone dissenting opinion is the Rashba. The Rashba, in his Chidushim, in Chulin, in his Tshuvos, and in Tarsa Bias, he says that we paskin like the Tanakhama and like the first iteration of Tanakhama. He thinks the Tanakhama holds, you actually don't need Koach Nosen. And therefore, he cites as his sort of Tanakhama and says, yeah, the Behag, he thinks that the Behag clearly implies this, because the Behag, after all, holds, you can put your hands in the water. So what do you do with the Gemara? The Gemara, which says you need, you know, the reason you can't use this case is because it's lost in Koch Gavra, this long pipe. So he responds to that no, the issue there with the pipe is the Rashman of Kuvzayin and Kulin. The issue there with the pipe is that the pipe is not a Kli itself. And even the Rashman holds, that you need Koch Kli. You need it to be coming from or within a Kli. So what the Gemara is saying there is when I initially poured it, it was obviously coming from the Kli. But at this point, the Pasach Koch Gavra, just in the sense of now it's no longer considered to be from that initial Kli. So the problem now is it's in this pipe, so the Rashba is Mechadish, and this pipe is not considered to be a Kli. Okay. We paskin, the Mechaber, it happens to be on focus on Mechaber and the Ramah, whether or not we're Choshesh for the Rosh, the Tur, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore Kof is no good, and therefore also Matah Chavis Al Tzeit is no good. Both of them agree that you need Koch Nos, at the very least. Therefore, we paskin, therefore, against the Behag. Okay. Fine. That's the background. So now the question we can ask is, given that Rosh Hashanah paskin this way, and given that we paskin that you needed to be a person's nesina that has to be as a result of an act of pouring, so what would happen if, let's say, you were to have a chavis and the person's hands weren't there? He was in some other room. It's already pouring, in other words, and the person comes in and now puts his hands there. So it sounds pretty clear from the Shulchan Aruch, this is Simon Kufnun Tes, that he thinks that there's no problem, there's no restrictions here.
What's exactly the case? Where does he put his hands?
I tipped the barrel over, and somebody from some other room, somebody was not, his hands were not there, in other words. They weren't in the trajectory of the mayim when I initially tipped it over.
Okay.
Do you have? Yeah. Right, so this is the Mechaber passing like the Rambam, passing like the Tanakhama, basically. That holds in the case of Matah Chavis Al Seidah, it's good enough, right? It says that Kol Yom, you can use it. So presumably, that means that I wasn't even there. The question is this obvious that that should work? In particular, according to the Rashba, right? The Rashba held that Mantzis Atzmo, that if it wasn't in the trajectory, but then you put yourself in there, so that's also Misak Geire. So why don't we say the same thing? Misak Kocho, Misak Chitza, Misak Geire. Right? So the Chazon Ish, in fact, is mistopic about this. He thinks that he acknowledges the pashas of the Lashon, the Shulchan Aruch, is that it doesn't matter. But he thinks maybe you should be choshesh, and it's only if your hands were there at the moment, in other words, whenever you're doing the tisdanim, according to the Chazon Ish, your hands have to be in the trajectory with where the water is being poured down. Even though he acknowledges that it doesn't sound like that from Shulchan Aruch. But the point is simple, which is, after all, isn't this Pesukei Geira? Now, even if you'll say, okay, you know what, you're assuming the Rashba. And we don't assume the Rashba, we assume that that's not Piskei Geire. Okay, but then you can come up with other cases. What about if I had gloves? That's certainly no less than Piskei Geire, right? So in that case, should not be count for Nitzel Zalim, so maybe you'll say Nechinami. Maybe that case really isn't. So that is Piskei Geire, where you specifically had shield, there was no way for it to get to it, it wasn't projected to go to that place, right? That's no good. But we don't find such a thing. So why is that? So here, I think the reason this is simple, which is that we can distinguish, and this is going to become relevant for Sukkis as we proceed in the Gemara, we can distinguish between two different concepts when it comes to Kocha, Maisa, Shaladam, to a case where something is moving in Kocha, we say Kocha Gufa, we can distinguish between two different concepts that often go together, but are actually distinct. One is Koach Gavra, and the other is what we'll call Maisa Gavra. The reason I use those terms is because that's the terms we will find it. So this is a distinction that is mentioned by some Achronim, Rav Chaim in particular, but actually it's explicit in Rishonim, and we'll get to just who in a second. The idea here is as follows. Maisa Gavra relates to the question of whether or not we attribute whatever this object that you've thrown that is moving Kocha, whatever it does, we attribute that to you. Are you the author of, the agent of whatever it is that this thing does? And it's just your tool. So if we say yes, that means that this is defined as being a Maisa HaGavra. If we say no, it means it is not. Then there's a separate issue, which is Koach Gavra. And the question that deals with is whether or not the motion of that object is defined as being caused by the person. Whether it's the person's force, which is defined as the propelling agent of the object. That's Koach Gavra. So normally, these things go together. Normally, it's moving, the motion is defined as being a klal garbo, so then whatever happens with it will be considered your maisa, will be attributed to you as your act. And if it isn't mikoch garbo, if it's not your force which is propelling it, so then it's not going to be considered your act. But perhaps you can have one without the other. Perhaps you can find cases where the maisa garbo, even though it's not mikoch garbo, we don't define it as being mikoch garbo, but we do define it as being maisa garbo. So that we'll come back to as we continue in the parak. But perhaps you can have the reverse case. Perhaps you can have a case of klal gavra, where we define it as moving, being propelled by your force, but whatever it accomplishes, whatever happens with it, that's not going to be attributed to you as your maisa. You're not the author of that. Now, if this is true, so then you can make the following argument. You can explain, there is no din of piskei geirei when it comes to netiyas adayim. Not only don't you have to have your hands there, but even if you have a shield over your hands, and even if you're wearing gloves, you won't say that you can't use this mayim because pazlach klal gavra. Why not? Because you assume two things, about two premises. The first, that netilas adayim requires kolach gavra, but not maisa gavra. And this is explicitly one day in the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah, in this Rav Yah that we've mentioned before, it's like the gift that keeps on giving, right? I think we've come into this Rav Yah into already several different issues, and for good reason, I think. But this is the Rav Yah who holds that a megagel on Shabbos is going to be pater because it's not a maisa adam. In other words, anything which is being held up by something which is on, like the pavement, so that's not going to be a maisa adam anymore. So he says, I arise for this, and you're not going to be chayiv ben nizikin, you're not going to be chayiv eretzicha, some of his writers from our Gemara, which we'll come back to. But then he addresses the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin had said, I didn't read it to you, but the Gemara in Chulin had said that the case where Tyrese the lie ain't no the min of the dying, the loss of Mkach Gavra. Then it says, v'imikarev, so the Rav Yah initially interpreted this to mean, yeah, this Rav Yah here, Tav Tav Kaf Zamach Zayin. The Rav Yah interpreted this to mean that you're getting closer to it, meaning you move up along the pipe, but it's still water that is traveling along the pipe. So the question became for him, so then isn't that a riot against my point? I was saying that it's no longer considered to be my Sa'adam anymore. But now, what we see is that even if the water travels along the pipe, as long as you're close enough, it's okay. That works when it just dying. Clearly the Rav Yah, in asking this question, is assuming, like Rov Yishonim, that we require Kolach Gavra, or Kolach Nosim, at the very least. So what's his answer? You have it there? He says, a pair of Kolabasar, Gabe Ahi Arisa Didalai, Adi Mekarev, the Gabe Dala Shaper Dami, Hasam Afilo Hamayim is Goggling Ksas, Rak Shalay Meruchak Biyose Shaper Dami. So that's his question. So what's his answer? You see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
this Rav Yah is explicitly making this chiluk. There's a chiluk which is, Rav Chaim suggests this chiluk in the context of Rav Chantum, is trying to identify a case where it's the opposite, namely it's Maisa Gavra, Lo Koach Gavra, but he says, oh, there are two different concepts. This Rav Yah is explicit that we have two different concepts. There's Maisa Gavra and there's Koach Gavra, A. B, Netiyas Adayim does not require Maisa Gavra, it only requires Koach Gavra. That's one day of there. Then he says, let's go ahead. Oh, he says, okay, you don't like that, fine. I'll just explain what I think is probably what most of you assume, which is that when it says Mikariv, it means that he's going before the water gets to the long pipe. It's just from the Kli, which is drawing it from the oar. Okay? So that it is also a Maisa Gavra. So that day, it sounds like he thinks it just requires a Maisa Gavra. At the very least, the first day in the Rav Yah is explicit, and the Tizdayim requires Koach Gavra, but not a Maisa Gavra. So if that's the case, so we can say very simply, that's true, Netiyas Adayim doesn't require, Maisa Gavra requires Koach Gavra. And, here it comes back to our sugya, Piskei Geirei, what does it mean Piskei Geirei? It means that it's no longer defined as your act. Whatever it accomplishes, whatever it does, is not defined as you're having done. It's not your Maisa. But, the Chet is still traveling, Mikochacha, it's still you're propelling the Chet, it's your propulsion. You're identified as what is moving the chayitz, in that case. You still say it's kocha alin in that. If that's true, so then in the context of Netiyas Adayim, even though there was a discontinuity in terms of the maisa adam, right, the initial act, whoever it was that was mata l'chavis, so it's not his maisa adam, he didn't wash our hands, but he doesn't have to wash our hands. It has to be that it's mikach gavra. So in the context of piskei geirei, even though we say piskei geirei, it won't make a difference when Netiyas Adayim because it's still us mikach gavra. Right now, this only works if you accept both of those premises. If you say first that Netiyas Adayim only requires Koach Gavra, and second, that when we say Piskei Geirei, what that means is that this object is no longer going to be viewed as your tool, as an implement for your Maisa Gavra. Whatever happens afterwards, it's not going to be defined as your Maisa Gavra. But it doesn't mean that we no longer define it as being propelled by your koach. Its motion is still attributed to your force. And if that's the case, so then in the context of Nitiyas Adayim, where you simply need an object, namely the Mayim, to have been propelled by a person, so Piskei Geira will have no relevance. Okay? Now, what do you think? Is it going to
continue a little bit?
I'll leave it to you. Okay. So, I think this will help us answer a question, which is something we could raise in a Rashba that we saw. And it's another issue regarding the scope of this din. And that is the Rashba about Mamtzis Atzmo. So the Rashba says that Alibi Dehochasa, you're going to be putter in this case of Mamtzis Atzmo because it's Piskei Geira. Right? We hold a Piskei Geira. In this case, it's a Piskei Geira, and therefore you're going to be putter. So the question you can ask is, okay, now what was the basis, though, for the fact that you're putter Migalos? The drasha, right? Umatza, prala mamtzis atzmo. You need a pasuk, you need a drasha to tell you, in this case, you're going to be putter migalos. So what question can you ask? Well, what happened to Piskei Geira? According to the other Rishonim, you don't have a question, because the other Rishonim thought that this wasn't Piskei Geira. So it is kochacha, so therefore there's no problem. Of course you're going to need a pasuk, because otherwise why should you be putter migalos? In fact, actually, the Rambam actually quotes with regard to the Ezekiel, the Gemara doesn't say why you're putter, according to the day that holds your putter. The Rambam kind of transfers the pasuk. Says, in Hilchos Chovo Mazik, says your putter in this case, the Paragalav in Hilchos Chovo Mazik, putter in this case of Mamtzis Atzmo, because of the pasuk. Nothing to do with Piskei Geira. Actually, I forgot to mention. One could ask the question, which I think has a different answer too, but what was that case in the Rambam? I threw a rock, and somebody came out and inserted himself into the area. In that case, the Rambam says you're going to be putter from everything, because of umatza. Now, one could have asked, okay, so let's say it's not Piskei Geira in this case, and therefore you could have even had a day which is the other way, right? But at the very least, you might ask, is it better than Piskei Geira? The Rambam is saying you're putter even from Nezek. You're putter in this case. Now, the Rambam himself held that the case of Piskei Geira, are you putter?
The Rambam's
Mechayev. The Rambam's Mechayev. Garmi, but at the very least, he's Mechayev. This is a side point, I forgot to mention this. So, one could ask this question. Now, I think that there could be two answers to this. It could be that, yes, in a chenami, and that's why you need the pasuk. That's why it's only based on a xerus custom. Not so sure that answer, that, you know, how satisfactory the answer is. I think alternatively, one might say, you know what, this isn't garmi. Why? Because notice here, what are you doing? Now I'm going back, hearkening back to what we said at the end of last quarter. Which is that maybe for the Rambam, there might be a distinction between Zorek HaDavar Nizok and Zorek the thing which is doing the nezek, the kli hamazik, right? Maybe the Rambam will say, when you're zorek the gufa davar, that itself, that's garmi, right? This is what we said last time, right? But the equivalent case of the Gemara Sanhedrin nezek, that won't be chayiv, that won't be garmi, because you're not biting the gufa davar there. So maybe that could be the answer, right? The case of zorek is a evin throwing the kli hamazik, you're not throwing the gufa davar nizok. So that we suggested maybe that wouldn't be garmi for the Rambam, even though a lot of Rishonim assume that these are equivalent. I'm sure you would ask me if I found it. Well, maybe this is the case. So I'm not sure about that. Either way, the question though we can ask for the Rashba is, according to the Rashba, so then why don't you need a Mamtzis Atzmo? It's Piskei Geira. Alright, so we'll just start with that next time. Is that okay? Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, for sure.